You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Chris Pimlott in the hot seat today, joining myself, Alex Dunn, to look ahead to day two of Chester's May meeting. Lovely weather, isn't it, Pimmers?
Oh, absolutely beautiful. One of the nicest days of the year so far, and I'm sure that the ladies of Cheshire will be out in their finery over the next couple of days on the Rudai. Always a delight to be at that Chester May meeting, and again, along with it, we get some quality racing, which is a Brucey bonus.
It is indeed. We're recording this prior to the meeting getting underway. We're about an hour away from the first race as we record this. But we're going to have a look ahead to day two, Pimmers.
Yep.
And all of the action on Thursday. There is some good racing elsewhere on Thursday as well. Chester, Catterick and Worcester, the afternoon meetings and evening racing from Carlisle and Tipperary. Wincanton tomorrow, abandoned, Pimmers.
Yeah, well, it's fully understandable, isn't it? We've had an awful lack of rain, to say the least, over the last few months. And I can fully understand why a lot of clerks of the courses have been pulling their hair out, really, because they've obviously had to water to some extent. But I don't know whether, you know, artificial watering is the same as the God-given watering. And certainly a lot of these courses will find it difficult to get some grass growth as well. So difficult times for them all at the minute, to be fair. And again, on the other hand, we are actually getting genuinely good stroke, good to firm ground, which is what really flat racing is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. We'll start by talking about the 150 from Chester on Thursday. It's a handicap over the extended mile and 2 furlong trip. Only 7 of them are set to run here. Already Sagely is an absentee, even as we record this, more than 24 hours away from the contest. But still not a bad race. There's one obvious place to start, Pimmers, and that's with K-Rat, who is thoroughly unexposed, looks an improver and represents powerful connections.
Yeah, he certainly does. He was a readied winner when he won at Doncaster back in September. An absence of 244 days, a slight concern, and it's just whether Sir Michael Stout had his readied to do himself justice on debut. But that's the great thing about him, is he's very much unexposed, and there could be an awful lot more to come from him. And off a mark of 91, he could be absolutely thrown in. So if we can take on trust that he strips fit, and I would imagine that the man who's in the know from the Stout stable will be paddock side at Chester tomorrow. So if you're listening to William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow, at about 10 minutes prior to this race, you could hear Ken Pedersen with his views, and he'll tell you whether he's fit or fat.
Correct. OK, in terms of dangers to K-Rat then, Barocco is the other four-year-old left in the race, and also the only other horse to come off the back of a win last time out, and at least in the betting, we've got betting up for this already. Obviously, this is subject to change, but K-Rat is 5-4, Barocco 3s and bigger prices the rest. He looks the main danger, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, it was a nice success that he gained at Epsom the last time we saw him. Just over 2 weeks ago, that success came. And again, there could be an awful lot more to come from him, but there's a little fella here lurking in the shape of Sinochian Star.
Okay.
Because he's a tough old devil. He disappointed last time out at Hamilton, but you can forgive him now and again, this fella, because he can bounce back, and he is a C&D winner in the past. He'll more than likely be one of the outsiders of the field. And if you just wanted to take a little chance, either to finish first or second, I think he might be difficult to win, but he might just sneak a place at big odds for you to finish second. I certainly wouldn't rule the old boy out, Sinochian Star, but my idea of the winner is the Stout runner, Karat.
OK. Yeah, the likes of Berkshire, Mr. Rock and Sinochian Star, grand old-timers, and I suppose down at the bottom, Gabriel's King as well for Marwan Kukash, who loves a winner at Chester. But Sinochian Star, of those, you'd say, is the one most likely. Well, 85 runs so far for Sinochian Star, and 37 of them he's finished in the first three.
Yeah, so that just shows what a tough, consistent little fella he is, and you know, he must be a pleasure to own, that is for sure.
Currently a 12-1 shot, but K-Rat 5-4. Pretty hard to get away from for Chris Pimlott in that opener. The next race is the 225, and it's a good little contest as well, the Huxley Stakes. over, again, the extended mile and 2 furlong trip. Now, we've got betting for this, and Deauville is 2-1 as things stand. Poets Word 11-4, 100-30 for Royal Artillery, Folkswood is 4s, Gabriel 12s, and Snowano is 33s. Really good little contest, this.
A smashing race, very, very competitive. Take away the outsider, Snow and Snow, who's the biggest price. There's basically only a pound stroke, £3 between the other five runners. Very tight-knit contest. A lot of them have been playing the trade in group company of late as well. But I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to take the favourite on here and go with Poet's Word. He's possibly the best offspring so far of Poet's Voice. He was a readied winner at Chelmsford last time out. That was off a mark of 104. Handicappers put him up to a mark of 111. This is by far his biggest test to date, but it could be well within his compass. I think he's a progressive individual, and I prepare to take a punt with him rather to stick with the tried and tested in the shapes of possibly Deauville or Folkswood, or even Gabriel, to be honest. So he's possibly a work-in-progress type horse, but he could step up to the plate tomorrow afternoon.
You mentioned Deauville. Holds Royal Artillery on the previous run at Sandown and has been long touted, Deauville, as a top-quality performer, but would need to start winning races like this in order to really stamp his authority on certain grades, because although he has run some massive races, a lot of them have been big races in defeat.
Yeah, yeah, and again, you know, I think he only had one success last season. But again, he's playing his trade in very difficult company, and he is just found wanting. He's certainly not one of the superstars from the O'Brien yard, that's for sure. But by the same token, you know, he's playing his trade in a race tomorrow. We've got a first prize of £42,532. So, you know, we wouldn't mind having him, to be fair.
No, that's true. And as I said, holds Royal Artillery on that run. And folks, just one word on that premise. The Godolphin run, very, very consistent, has had a decent time of things over in Maidan and then came back and ran a solid enough race at Newmarket behind Steel of Madrid.
Yeah, again, it was solid. There was nothing wrong with that run. He hung slightly right in the last half furlong or so there. But again, the ground was fairly quick on that occasion. I'd say on the reflection, he was beaten fair and square. But again, that was Group 3. This isn't down as a Group 3, but to be fair, it is all bar that in name, you know.
Mm.
It's a very good contest.
And you're going to go with Poet's Word?
Poet's Word, hopefully, to be taking a step forward.
OK. And Sir Michael Stout has a fantastic record in the race as well. Won it last year with Canic Chase. Won it in 2009 with Dr. Fremantle. In 2007, 6 and 5 with Marahel. And in 2001 with Adilabad as well. So, does like a winner.
He does like a winner. And he's, you know, he's got a very, very good strike rate at Chester.
OK, next up is the 3 o'clock race. It's a handicap over the extended 7 furlong trip here. And it's wide open, this race. I mean, these kind of races are always pretty difficult. Via Ignacia and Irene Hart are 7-2 joint favourites as we record this at about 1:15 on Wednesday. Mutawatha 4-1. Then a jump out to 10s for Sharp Defence and Ark Royal. Rebel de Lope is 12s, as is Aventinus. Let Me Stop You There 14s, 16s for Masham Star and Mail Shot and Perfect Madge is 25-1. Some interesting types in here, Pimmers, but as always in these kind of races at Chester, the draw could prove pretty key.
It could do, yeah. I'd have to say, to be fair, again, at the time of recording, very few high-drawn horses have been withdrawn today from Chester. So all those scepticals that were saying, certainly one Racing Post sceptical was saying, oh, they'd be billed out with snotty noses and hadn't eaten up. Well, certainly in that opening Lily Agnes stakes this afternoon, where I think 11 runners go to post, and as we speak, all 11 stand the ground.
OK.
So maybe that theory...
As you keep talking about the draw pimmers, I'm just going to check that the runners are still in. Because we're going to sound silly otherwise.
Well, OK, well, you check it, but it was at 12 o'clock they were all still running.
Yes, they are still.
There you go, you see. No fool like an old fool. but this is very, very competitive, as you'd imagine. Vera Ignantia ran well enough in defeat last time out behind Beat the Bank at Newmarket. That was over the trip of 7 furlongs, same as tomorrow. And then you've got Irene Hart, who finished second, just beaten a short head behind Proud Archie at Beverley. I did feel he was a little bit unlucky that day, to be fair, Irene Hart, and there might be a little bit more to come from him. Drawn 6, slight negative, whereas your paper favourite Via Agnita is coming out of box number 1. And the other horse that is interesting was the Richard Hannon runner, Jim Crowley ridden, Mutaweb. He's well drawn in five. And again, he ran plenty well enough at Chelmsford City behind Mail Shot last time out, 61 days since we saw him. And he could well have progressed since then.
Now you say that, Mutaweb is 4-1.
And
finished
Mail
behind
Mail Shot.
Mail Shot is 16-1. Now, I know that Mail Shot has been on the go a little bit and is fairly exposed, fairly limited. I say limited, that's being quite disrespectful, to be honest. He's not limited, but we know what he's about anyway.
Yeah, we do.
Arthur has the improvement. Is that the only reason for the difference in price, would you say?
I'd say so, and also that, again, he has been to Musselburgh since that run, and he slightly disappointed, didn't he? So, you know, but on the other hand...
And he is out in 11 as well.
Yeah, 11 of 12 is disappointing, as in nearly too bad to be true a run. But like you say, out in stall 11... it's not going to be easy for him. So I'm prepared to take Mail Shot on, although, like you quite rightly say, he looks value compared to Mutaweb. But I think Mutaweb could have a little bit more to offer tomorrow.
So you think Mutaweb the most likely winner?
Indeed.
OK.
Yeah.
Mutaweb then for Richard Hannon and Jim Crowley gets the nod in that 3 o'clock contest. The final race we're going to focus on this edition of the William Hill Racing Podcast is the Chester Vars coming up at 3:35. It's a Group 3 contest over the extended mile and a half. Eight of them set to go to post here. And we mentioned that Sir Michael Stout had a good record in the Huxley Stakes. Well, Aidan O'Brien has been farming this race in recent years. Let's go back to 2007. He wins it with Soldier of Fortune. 2009 with Golden Sword. 2011 with Treasure Beach. And then 2013, 14, 15 and 16 with Rule of the World Orchestra, Hans Holbein and US Army Ranger. Loves this race. And crucially, in those last 4 years that he's trained the winner, Ryan Moore has been on the winner each time. And Ryan Moore of Aidan O'Brien's battalion here chooses Venice Beach.
Yeah. So we've eight runners going to post. Four trained by Aidan O'Brien, one trained by his son Joseph. So that's five in the O'Brien camp. Mm. Do you know which board game those O'Briens play at Christmas?
Go on.
Monopoly.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Very much so. Of the seven, all bar Kunco are entered in the Derby. Mm-hmm. So again, they're all taking a little stepping stone towards Epsom in June. And as you quite rightly said, Ryan Moore ridden the last four winners of this race for Aidan O'Brien. You'd imagine that Venice Beach is the first choice. But by the same token, and sometimes I feel it's slightly different re the fillies, but as we saw on Sunday at Newmarket, not necessarily, or even celery, or not necessarily the Ryan Moore horse goes and does the job, you know what I mean?
Do you want a joke, Pimmers?
Go on then.
My friend was talking to me the other day and he said, why do you always have to get the name of a fruit or vegetable into every sentence? I said, not necessarily.
Yeah, OK.
See?
It's really good. Has that come from the Gordon Brown School of jokes?
No. But it's just kind of saying exactly what you said.
Yeah, not necessarily.
But you didn't mean to say it.
I didn't, know.
I like it anyway, though.
It's nice.
What were you talking about?
It's good. I can't remember. It's such a long time ago. So I think Venice Beach, obviously, is the number one for the O'Brien camp. Mm. But Anvil won very nicely 41 days ago. Obviously, steps up to... a bit higher company tomorrow afternoon. And again, Count Octave, there could be a little bit more to come from him, having been beaten Utopia Dream at Wolves. But again, a lot more is required. If we're looking at official ratings, then 109 of the Anvil is the top one that goes to war. And again, interesting that Kunco isn't entered for the Derby, but was a winner of a Group 3 at Sandown last time when leading in the last strides. You'd imagine if success came his way tomorrow, you'd more likely see him being...
supplemented.
That's the word, supplemented for the Derby. But a very interesting race with just the eight runners. I don't feel the draw will be overly important, but again, what looks like being favourite, Venice Beach, coming out of three, ideal.
So you're sticking with the Fav?
I'm sticking with the Fav. It's not very original, I'm afraid, but I think from the small sample, as our statistician Andrew Mount would say, that he's won the last four with Ryan Moore on board, I think that'll do for me.
So 5-2, it's almost folly to look elsewhere, isn't it, on the face of it? It'd be one of those ones that you look back on if you didn't back it and go, crikey.
Exactly.
Why?
What was I thinking about?
Venice Beach 5-2, Kunko 7-2, Tamleek 6s with Wings of Eagles and bigger prices the rest. Venice Beach hard to get away from for Mr. Pimlott in that one. Enjoy all the racing at Chester then across the next few days, and obviously listeners, by the time you're listening to this, hopefully you enjoyed day one of Chester's May meeting, and best of luck on day two and indeed day three. Make sure you tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio for all of the action. You'll hear Ken Pitterson, as Pim has already told you, and Sir Anthony McCoy's previews there as well. They're also available on the William Hill website. No excuse for you not to get involved, really. So
no, exactly. Get involved and enjoy.
Thank you, Pimmers, for joining me.
My pleasure. Shame we're not at Chester.
It is. We'll catch up with you listeners soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.